Good afternoon. My name is Kevin, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to CohBar's Annual Meeting Investor Presentation. All lines have been placed on mute to eliminate background noise. This call is being recorded. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Jordyn Tarazi. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you everyone for joining CohBar's Annual Meeting Presentation Conference Call. Joining me on today's call is Steve Angel, CohBar's Chief Executive Officer, Ken Cundy, CohBar's Chief Scientific Officer, and Jeff Buono, CohBar's Chief Financial Officer. If you're having issues joining the Webex, you can access the slide presentation from the homepage of CohBar's website to follow along. Steve will begin with an overview, followed by an R&D update from Ken. Before we begin, I'd like to take a moment to remind listeners that the remarks on today's conference call may include forward-looking statements within the meaning of the securities laws. These forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding the company's plans and expectations for its lead CB4211 drug candidate program, the company's plans and expectations regarding pipeline expansion, the therapeutic and commercial potential of the company's lead drug candidate, CB4211, and other mitochondria-based therapeutics, statements regarding ongoing and planned research and development activities, potential partnerships, anticipated analyst coverage, and our capital resources and ability to fund our operations. Forward-looking statements are based on current expectations, projections, and interpretations that involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated by CohBar. These risks and uncertainties are described in our registration statements, reports, and other filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission and applicable Canadian securities regulators, which are available on our website at cohbar.com, sec.gov, and sedar.com, as well as in the safe harbor statement included with today's press release. You are cautioned that such statements are not guarantees of future performance and that our actual results may differ materially from those set forth in the forward-looking statements. CohBar does not undertake any obligation to update publicly or revise any forward-looking statements or information, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. If you are having trouble issues with the Webex, the slide presentation is posted on the homepage of the CohBar website. Now I'd like to turn the call over to CohBar's Chief Executive Officer, Steve Angel.
Thank you, Jordyn. Welcome, everyone. Here's today's agenda. Wanted to start with the CohBar vision, followed by the year in review, and then talking about looking ahead, and finally some Q&A. Next slide. Next slide. Before I talk about 2020, let me remind you of CohBar's vision and the basis for our technology. Beginning with the first bullet, the discovery behind CohBar's technology is the finding that mitochondria are more than the powerhouses of the cell that we learned in biology class and generate signals that affect cells, organs, and systems across the body. Based on the last decade of research, mitochondrial dysfunction underlies multiple chronic and age-related diseases. CohBar has discovered over 100 peptides encoded in the mitochondria genome and has generated over 1,000 analogs. As a result, we believe we have a platform technology capable of providing multiple shots on goal. CB4211 is the first mitochondria-based therapeutic to be evaluated in a clinical study in humans. We believe that it is the first of a number of candidates that our technology platform will identify for advancement into the clinic. Our CSO, Ken Cundy, will discuss this further in the next section. In parallel, we've generated 4 preclinical programs. We plan to nominate one of these programs for IND-enabling studies in 2020. Our IP portfolio is significant and continues to expand. We are the leaders in the development of mitochondria-based therapeutics. We have an experienced management team that is well-leveraged by preclinical and clinical research organizations, outside medical and other experts, and world-class founders. This provides strong talent and breadth on a timely basis with financial efficiency. Next slide. This has been an amazing year for COBAR. Since my arrival at COBAR last May, we have expanded the number of programs from 2 to 5. Most recently, we announced that we have a new target for our CV5064 apelin agonist program, which is COVID-19-associated acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, a life-threatening condition. We are excited because we believe this program can have beneficial effects in ARDS of the non-COVID kind, where it is estimated that there are over 3 million patients around the world. In this past quarter, in a brand new program, we demonstrated that our recently discovered CXCR4 agonists reduce growth of tumors in a model of melanoma when used with a chemotherapeutic agent over the use of the agent by itself. We've also made significant progress in our antifibrotic program by generating new results in the therapeutic model of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Finally, like many biotech companies, we paused our phase 1b study for NASH and obesity, which we plan to continue once COVID-19-associated conditions impacting our study sites have improved. Based on our accomplishments during the year, COBAR continues to expand its portfolio of mitochondrial encoded peptides and maintain our leadership in mitochondria medicine. Next slide. COBAR is a leader in mitochondria medicine. Mitochondria medicine focuses on the broad role of mitochondria and mitochondria dysfunction in health, aging, and disease. Mitochondria dysfunction is a major underlying cause of many chronic and age-related diseases. You can see some of the diseases on the list. Very few companies are working on reducing mitochondria dysfunction. For example, the cause behind some of the chronic neurological diseases like Alzheimer's is thought to be at least partially mitochondrial dysfunction. This may explain why efforts to reduce Alzheimer's by other means have not been very successful today. Recent research in mitochondrial biology and related diseases supports a much broader and important role for mitochondria. In particular, mitochondria generate signals which pass within and between cells and between the mitochondria and multiple biological systems. We believe that mitochondrial peptides are the key way that the communication occurs between cells and organs. COBAR research supports a broader and more significant role for mitochondrial peptides in multiple diseases. Next slide. Our founders discovered the first peptides demonstrating regulation of metabolism and other systems. In total, the company has discovered 100 additional peptide sequences inside the mitochondria DNA and developed over 1,000 analogs. COBAR CB4211 clinical candidate has already demonstrated 3 clinical effects in models of NASH and obesity. COBAR's newest peptides are targeting cancer, fibrosis, ARDS, and T2D, type 2 diabetes. All from genes within the mitochondria and differentiated from therapeutics targeting the mitochondria. COBAR is the first mover and we believe the leader in mitochondria medicine. Next slide. What is COBAR's approach to identifying new therapeutic compounds? We start with peptide sequences encoded in the mitochondrial genome, test the natural peptide. We are taking advantage of existing natural molecules, which have already been evolved for a purpose by the process of evolutionary biology. We then develop better versions of the natural peptide through in vitro and in vivo testing and repetitive structure modifications of the compounds. By this process, we discover improved versions of the natural peptide and turn them into therapeutic candidates. Next slide. Scientists have expanded their view of the primary management process of human biology from a more fixed genome-centric system to include an adaptive epigenetic system. Epigenetic systems are driven by environmental factors, diet, exercise, water, sunshine, and aging. We hear this a lot on TV and in articles. We believe certain mitochondrial peptides are an important vehicle for causing epigenetic changes. Based on over 20 years of research by academia and COBAR, for all these reasons, then, mitochondrial peptides represent a vast, untapped, and exciting opportunity for developing novel therapeutics. Next page. Next page. Now I'd like to review the year. Here are the highlights of the past 12 months. When I arrived, we jumped straight into 10 business development meetings with large pharmaceutical companies, which were mostly focused on CB4211 for NASH and obesity. During that third quarter, we announced new antifibrotic positive animal results in a model of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. We also announced a new immuno-oncology program and positive in vitro results. We shared our apelin agonist results at the American Diabetes Association, and we attended the Gerald Science Conference in Israel, where our founders, Drs. Cohen, Barzilai, and Sinclair, spoke. And we conducted investor roadshows in both Israel and London. In the fourth quarter of 2019, we completed the Phase 1A stage of the Phase 1A-1B study, evaluating the safety, tolerability, and activity of CB4211. We initiated recruitment for the Phase 1B stage of the study. We presented at multiple investor conferences and conducted investor roadshows in New York, Boston, and San Francisco. We ended the year with a bang by announcing that we had shown positive therapeutic results in an idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis model, which complemented our results from the third quarter. We also continued to enhance the membership of our board of directors. In October 2019, Misha Petkovich, Chief Investment Officer of V2M Capital, joined the COBAR Board of Directors. He was the third new director with deep biotech industry experience that joined the board in 2019 as a major step in our planned evolution of the board. A subsequent step in our plan was to reduce the overall size of the expanded board from 10 directors at the end of 2019 to 8 directors reelected today. This is a little bit more typical, the number of directors for a company of our size. As a result, we greatly appreciate the contributions of John Amatruda, one of our co-founders who has been with us since the beginning, and will continue to advise in the research and science areas of the company, and Philippe Calais, who is a board member and interim CEO of the company. We look forward to continuing relationships with them as consultants to the company. Next slide. Well, we started 2020 off very strong by initiating a new CXCR4 inhibitor program and providing positive results in the melanoma animal model. We were quite visible and presented at multiple investor conferences. We also conducted investor roadshows in San Francisco, Vancouver, New York, and Boston. Even with COVID-19 pandemic ongoing in the second quarter, we initiated a new COVID-19 ARDS program. With a dramatic increase in the therapeutic areas our programs are targeting, we continue to expand our world-class team of scientific and medical experts. We have been very busy this year with conferences and meetings. Most recently, we were pleased to be covered by Brookline in our first Wall Street analyst coverage. We expect to have more analyst reports in the future. We are also pleased that COBAR will be added to the Russell 2000. Like the S&P 500 index attracts the largest 500 companies, the Russell 2000 index is constructed to provide a comprehensive small cap performance barometer by tracking the stock price of 2,000 U.S. listed companies. It is reconstituted annually to ensure larger stocks do not distort the performance. The preliminary list was released on June 5th, and the reconstitution takes effect on June 26th. As a part of the Russell 2000 Index, we expect this will increase the visibility of our stock. Very recently, we initiated an ATM targeting the Russell Index rebalancing. We put this ATM in place in anticipation of potential opportunities to raise funds at attractive market rates during the Russell rebalancing process. We cannot comment further on the program at this time, except to say the obvious, that the rebalancing is taking place in the middle of a unique market conditions. Most recently, we just completed the Bio 2020 conference and held over 20 meetings with international pharmaceutical and biotech companies. You will not be surprised that as we diversified our pipeline, our partnering opportunities are also expanding. Last year at Bio 2019, most of the companies were interested in NASH and obesity. This year, the companies brought in a more diverse group of their experts representing oncology, fibrosis, and metabolic diseases. Why are we seeking pharmaceutical partners? Having corporate partners is a key part of our strategy, and it will help us realize the COBAR vision more quickly. We have an embarrassment of opportunities. In this case, the opportunities are the 100 peptides and over 1,000 analogs. As a result, we believe that we have more peptide programs to be discovered and long-suffering patients to be helped. Pharmaceutical partners, as you may know, can provide non-dilutive capital, a team of experienced, knowledgeable drug developers, including clinicians, regulatory and other experts, and other resources. With the right resources, we believe that we can accelerate the process of developing these compounds into therapeutics, increasing the number of programs we are running in parallel, giving us more wins, and mitigating the overall risk by having multiple shots on goal. We believe this will help us realize the COBAR vision faster. Next slide. So now a list of questions, and these questions are to help us understand what we've learned about mitochondrial peptides in the last year. We are the leaders in the research of this area, and we want you to know some of the things that have come up as we've gone through the year as a result of succeeding in the programs we're running. So the first question is, why does mitochondrial genome have these peptide sequences? And as we've said, these have evolved over billions of years, and they're conserved within the genome of the mitochondria. In addition, they obviously have some very important purposes. So, for example, COBAR peptides that regulate metabolism, which is CB4211, and also cancer, which is our CXCR4 program. So these are very important things for the system to regulate. So why do mitochondrial peptides affect such a broad range of pathways? We believe, based on our work, that complex biological systems are powered by a large set of interconnected pathways, and these pathways need to be modulated in order to regulate the systems. Why does the mitochondria genome contain very high-potency peptides? Well, having a high-potency peptide allows mitochondria to use very little to control certain pathways. And here our example is what we learned with the CXCR4 inhibitors, which are highly potent. They have nanomolar binding affinity. Next slide. And just a little bit more about what we've learned. Why are mitochondria targeting the cause rather than the symptoms of the disease? It is apparent that these compounds have evolved to target the cause via the underlying pathways rather than the symptoms. For example, CB4211 enhances the insulin effect, a lack of which is one of the major problems with NASH. By doing this, it prevents the accumulation of fatty acids in the liver. And finally, why would the mitochondria peptides affect multiple pathways? Well, we believe, based on our work, that in certain cases, affecting multiple pathways is key to controlling related diseases. For example, CB5064 apelin agonists affect multiple pathways at the same time to achieve homeostasis or balance in the system, and is those that we're taking forward in the ARDS area. So I say all this, and I hope you take away from it, in addition to succeeding with the particular projects that we're working on, we're also able to gather much broader knowledge about what these peptides are doing, why they're important, and how special they are. This is a new area of scientific exploration, and of course, there is more to learn and therefore more opportunities, we believe, for COBAR. I will now turn it over to Ken. Ken?
Thanks, Steve. I'll now go ahead and give a brief overview of the status of our R&D programs and our near-term plans. So CB4211 is our novel enhanced analog of MOTC, a naturally occurring mitochondrially encoded peptide discovered by our co-founder, Dr. Hasi Cohen, and his colleagues. CB4211 is currently in phase 1A-1B clinical testing as a potential treatment for NASH and obesity. The phase 1A stage of the study is complete, and it involved a double-blind, placebo-controlled, single ascending dose, multiple ascending dose assessment of the safety, tolerability, and pharmacokinetics in healthy adults to select the most appropriate dose for the phase 1B stage. No significant safety or tolerability issues were observed in the phase 1A after restarting the study. The phase 1B part of the study is a double-blind, placebo-controlled evaluation of one dose level of CB4211 given once a day in obese subjects with NAFLD. This phase is designed to assess the potential effects of CB4211 on liver fat, body weight, and various biomarkers that are relevant to NASH, obesity, and metabolic disease. Changes in liver fat will be assessed by MRI-PDFF, and all subjects must have a minimum of 10% liver fat at baseline. We added three new clinical sites to the study earlier this year in order to accelerate enrollment. And as we announced in March, the phase 1B stage of the study is currently paused due to COVID-19. This pause is not unique to COBAR, as more than 1,000 clinical studies have been affected globally by the pandemic, and many of them have paused enrollment. We are continuing to monitor the situation and expect to provide an update once there is a change in status. Next slide, please. Now, turning to the rest of our pipeline, we expect additional data from several programs over the next 3 to 6 months. On the last quarterly call, we shared information on four programs in the preclinical peptide optimization stage. The first of these was announced in January, our MBT5 analogs for cancer and other indications. MBT5 analogs are a family of peptides that are highly potent and selective inhibitors of the CXC chemokine receptor type 4, or CXCR4. This is a key chemokine receptor that regulates the growth and metastasis of tumors, as well as the localization of immune cells within the bone marrow. On the last call, we shared data on the in vitro activity of this family of peptides in cell-based assays and successful translation to the in vivo setting in a mouse model of aggressive melanoma, where an MBT5 analog enhanced the efficacy of chemotherapy. We plan to advance this program into additional preclinical models, including potentially models of hematologic cancer and stem cell mobilization, with the goal of identifying a candidate for advancement. The second program is our MBT2 analog peptides for fibrotic diseases. We previously shared data on the efficacy of MBT2 in prophylactic and therapeutic mouse models of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF. In April, we announced acceptance of our late-breaking abstract on this program at the American Thoracic Society ATS National Meeting. The ATS in-person meeting, originally planned for May, was eventually canceled due to concerns around COVID-19, but the abstract has been published by ATS, and they now are preparing for a virtual meeting later this year. This family of peptides has been further expanded, and we are now running additional studies with the goal of identifying a candidate for advancement towards IND-enabling studies. The third program on the list, also discussed on previous calls, is the MBT3 family of peptide analogs with potential for use in cancer immunotherapy, enhancing the killing of cancer cells by human immune cells in vitro. That program will be advancing into in vivo studies to look at translation of these in vitro effects. Now, the final program on the list is the CB5064 analogs, a family of novel apelin agonists that have already shown positive results in a mouse model of type 2 diabetes. This program has now been expanded to include a new target indication, acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, including specifically ARDS associated with COVID-19. In the setting of COVID-19, ARDS is one of the most lethal consequences of the coronavirus infection, and this is why people end up on ventilators. ARDS leads to microvascular leakage and accumulation of fluid in the air sacs of the lungs, blocking oxygen absorption into the blood. Another potential devastating effect of the virus is a dysregulated release of inflammatory signals called a cytokine storm. This results in intense local inflammation, but the storm also reaches other organs like the heart, the kidneys, the liver, and the brain, where inflammation and cellular damage can eventually result in multi-organ failure. CB5064 analogs activate the apelin receptor, a key cell surface receptor that regulates multiple homeostatic processes. In published studies, apelin signaling has been shown to protect animals from acute lung injury, whether the injury is caused by a chemical, bacterial, or other insult. Apelin signaling also reduces fluid accumulation, the vascular leakage, and the cytokine release in animal models. Based on these published observations, Kobar's novel CB5064 apelin agonists could potentially block many of the damaging effects seen with COVID-19-associated ARDS. Now, this signaling pathway is independent of the source of the injury, so our peptides could also have potential utility in other forms of ARDS, including ARDS caused by future novel strains of viruses or bacteria. So we're now moving forward with evaluation of our CB5064 analogs in preclinical models of ARDS. Next slide, please. So this slide just describes the next steps for us as we move towards selecting another clinical candidate for COBAR. In the CXCR4 antagonist program for cancer and other diseases, we completed our initial melanoma study, and we're advancing into models of stem cell mobilization and hematologic cancer. For the antifibrotic peptides, we've shown efficacy in IPF models, and we're moving towards selection of the optimal analog for further advancement, while also branching out into other fibrotic disease models. In the new area of apelin agonist peptides targeting ARDS related to COVID-19, we're conducting studies in animal models of ARDS to select the best analog to move forward. The peptides with potential for use in cancer immunotherapy will be moving into animal cancer models to look at potential combinations with chemotherapy or other immunotherapy treatments. So across these four preclinical stage programs, these are targeted at different indications, and we will be prioritizing based on numerous factors. These factors include the potential for efficacy, the market potential, the competition, our ability to manufacture the product, the clinical and regulatory paths to approval, and the underlying requirements for a new drug in this specific indication, which we call the target product profile. So out of this effort, our goal is to identify a new clinical candidate this year for advancement towards IND-enabling studies. Next slide, please. So this final slide shows a high-level overview of our current R&D programs for mitochondria-based therapeutics. CB4211, our first clinical candidate, is currently in phase 1b clinical testing for potential use in treating NASH and obesity. The study is currently paused, awaiting the resolution of the COVID-19-related delay. But we now have four preclinical programs moving forward in various animal models of cancer, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, and acute respiratory distress syndrome, with the goal of identifying our next clinical candidate this year for advancement to IND-enabling activities. And as we mentioned, we expect to see additional preclinical data emerging on these programs in the next 3 to 6 months, and we plan to provide an update on our next quarterly call. And with that, I'll hand the presentation back to Steve.
Thanks, Ken. Well, hopefully you're getting a sense of why we're so excited here in Menlo Park and the other places that we're located right now. Work continues to go on at our vendors, and we're really looking forward to the data coming out of that. Ken's already talked about CB4211. On the preclinical side, again, our major goal here is to identify the next clinical candidate. And I would say moving both these new programs forward is a part of getting to that. Financing-wise, we continue to evaluate options for future fundraising. And, of course, we've got the situation where, you know, we're able to move forward in these programs. And so we want to continue to provide the kind of capital that we need to support our programs. And I think in terms of the past year, we've definitely expanded our presence in the market. We've had many, many meetings at the conferences that you can see here, Roth and BioCEO, so forth. And we've also held many non-deal roadshows. So slowly but surely, people are getting to know the CoBAR name and what our vision is for what we can do and the kind of results. And getting those results has been very helpful, of course. It's like having an extra calling card to get in to see people as we begin to demonstrate what we can really do. We, of course, anticipate expanding partnering activities. And as leaders in the development of mitochondria-derived peptides, we will continue to expand our IP portfolio as well. So to continue, we realize the CoBAR vision is moving forward, and in the last year, we've made substantial progress increasing our clinical and preclinical programs from 2 to 5, including an exciting program in ARDS, showing the therapeutic breadth and potential of the peptides and the potential of the platform to generate multiple shots on goal. With all of these results over the last year, we believe that CoBAR's fundamentals have been significantly enhanced. As the portfolio grows and mature, we naturally expect that the value of the portfolio will increase. In addition, as Ken discussed, we have a number of potentially positive preclinical study results in the next few months, and we look forward to sharing those with you. And during this time at a science level, we've expanded our knowledge of the potential of these mitochondrial peptides. As we've learned through our research, the mitochondrial peptides are one of the pivotal agents in affecting and controlling many organs in the body. We have shown that mitochondrial peptides can have much higher potency than anybody expected. And even a single peptide can affect multiple pathways at the same time. It has become clearer and clearer that these molecules are targeting the causes of diseases rather than the symptoms. With a unique approach to an emerging field, the intellectual property in place, and the R&D machine operating on all cylinders, we believe that CoBAR's novel peptides represent a vast, untapped, and exciting opportunity for numerous potential mitochondrial-based therapeutics, and position the company in the forefront of mitochondrial medicine. Step by step, we are realizing the potential of the CoBAR vision. Thank you, and now we'll move to the Q&A.
Thank you. We'll now be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to be placed in the question queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing star 1. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one if you'd like to be placed into question queue. Our first question today is coming from Steve Carroll, a private investor. Your line is now live.
Hello. I just wanted to thank you again for the information that you guys provide. It's always very helpful to hear about the progress that you're making. Ken, I had a few specific questions for you concerning the pausing of the Phase 1B for 4211. You mentioned in your discussion that many other companies that are in testing FDA phases one way or another have been paused as well. But you also made it sound like that was a number around 1,000, but the number that have been paused maybe is less than that. Is there any color that you can give on why these are paused? Is it an FDA dictate that pauses them, or is it just the pragmatic logistics that pause them? And if it is an FDA pause, how does someone get out of pause, and what does the bottleneck look like at this point?
Right, Steve, thanks for the question. Actually, to clarify this, the pauses are not FDA-related. These are related to your practical ability to conduct a clinical study in the environment of the COVID-19 pandemic. So knowing, you know, the impact that has on your ability to bring people into a study situation where they may not have the ability to be socially distanced from each other, that you may not have the ability to appropriately screen them for COVID. I think those things have played out across the industry in affecting enrollment and also the interest of people in participating in studies. So that's why it's been such a broad impact. So not an FDA-driven thing at all, but a practical execution issue for people that are trying to run a study in the midst of an ongoing pandemic.
So is it the contract research organization that literally says we're paused?
So the way it works is, you know, we have multiple contract research organization components to our study because we have, you know, multiple sites involved, and each site has its own local, state, and other regulations to deal with in dealing with COVID. So it's a question of, you know, balancing that out across your studies. We do know from information recently released that CROs in general have had quite an impact on their performance by the COVID-19 pause. So something in the region of 60% of CRO-related studies have been impacted one way or another by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you both, and thanks, Steve, for the question. I'd just add to that that I read the other day that it's been estimated that there are 400 oncology studies alone that have been paused or not started. And when you think about oncology, of course, you think about, you know, immediately life-threatening, we need to get on with this study. But even those studies have been either stopped or postponed. So it's quite remarkable how this has affected the industry. And my guess is we're well over 1,000 studies that have been affected. Next question.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to be placed into question queue, please press star one at this time. Once again, that is star one to be placed into question queue. If you're on a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing star one. One moment, please, while we poll for further questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star one to be placed in the question queue. If there are no further questions at this time, I'll turn the floor back over to management for any further or closing comments.
Thank you, operator, and thanks everyone for joining us today. I hope you get a sense of the enthusiasm we have. This last year has just been a wonderful year for the company in so many ways, having strengthened both our science, developed more programs, and just done a number of things that we think will all lead to the kinds of results we're looking for in developing compounds. And so we thank you for your continued support, and we look forward to speaking with you on our second quarter call, which is in August. Thanks very much.
Thank you. That does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a wonderful day. We thank you for your participation today.